podcast, Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing.
Got it right there, Tom.
I did. My name is Chris Burris, owner of eWebStyle.
Charles Lewis, your Internet Marketing Specialist.
Welcome to an exciting edition of the Unknown Secrets of SEO podcast, or also known as Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing podcast. This is a Thursday, normally broadcast on Friday. I will be out of town tomorrow, so we're getting it in early.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is podcast number 128. If you're tuning in, you should know that. If you've been following us, if you haven't, this is 128. And go check 127, 126, 125, 124.
I'm going to go on with that. And time to end the podcast. Do not forget, we are your friendly local neighborhood top position
snatchers.
Snatchers, where our mantra is
don't be a douche.
And remember, if you're listening to this from a computer or you have the ability to do some sort of social media something right now at this moment, go ahead, tweet, Facebook, something, say, hey, right now I'm listening to
hashtag SEO podcast 128.
Excellent.
And tag us at it, at eWebStyle.
That way we'll know that you guys are following us, and we really appreciate it. Hey, the tip from the last podcast is the new Ziploc algorithm. By the way, that's the phrase we gave it.
Yeah, they call it Google Freshness, but before they titled it, we called it Ziploc.
Yeah, no, I think Ziploc's a whole lot better. Algorithm. So the new Ziploc algorithm update should remind you to keep producing fresh content.
Yes, sir.
Because it is about fresh content. Hey, man, I'm excited. I'm disappointed. You know, normally if there's no review, product placement. Normally if there's no review, what do?
Get a teardrop tattoo.
Get a tear. So I didn't even know what to do when we got a bad review. Like I just crawled into
upside down.
Upside down tattoo. Here it is. You know, this just to show we're really about openness. We read our bad reviews on the air. The guy's name is Danny Thompson. I'm not giving them another try. 1 star. That's the title. I've tried to like this podcast, and the descriptions look like they have great content to deliver. However, they waste an insane amount of time with other stuff before they ever get to the content. When it's a business-related podcast, I don't think publishers should start thinking they are radio DJs. Get to the point and deliver content, please. You know, that's been one of the criticisms that we've had, and, you know, I certainly appreciate your taking the time to listen.
Yeah.
By the way, it's not DJs, it's radio personalities. There are no discs anymore. What I did is I actually clicked his link, and he recommended another podcast. I'm going to do something probably no other podcast is out there doing. It was Internet Marketing, Insider Tips and Advice for Online Marketing. Go check it out. It's a pretty good podcast.
Check it out, then come back and tell us what you think. Matter of fact, compare it. Yeah. I'd like to see where we're falling at, where we're better at, or what you think we could do to improve. What's my guy's name? Danny?
Yep.
Punch in the face for the feedback.
Thank you.
You know, it is what it is. I think, to be blunt, we have majority of our people appreciate the news, the updates, and things that we're trying to give along with the content.
Right.
You happen to fall in the percentage that don't. And that's okay.
That's okay. Hope you do well. So we follow this with a great positive review that just came in, I don't know, yesterday or something. This, I love the title, Super Awesome! 5 stars. This is by Lazak, L-A-Z-A-K. Thanks for all the SEO tip, guys. You're entertaining and informative. Don't let anyone tell you that your witty banter is annoying. It adds to the subject matter, even if loosely. I like that.
Danny?
By the way, we didn't pay this guy. We didn't.
Well, he's came in, what, 2 days after that?
Yep, 2 days later. So he had a chance to see it. I won't give you a punch in the face because that's your thing, but I would like to give you a kick in the shins from my company.
Ouch.
Oh, that was a good kick.
Oh, ouch. I'm only saying ouch because we got a new bedroom set. Bedroom set comes with a footboard.
Not used to the footboard.
Man, turning the corner too fast, hit my shin on the footboard.
Ooh, look, that'll lay you out. Like,
done. I'm not going to wherever I was on my way to. I'm laying down right here,
comfortably, and crying.
Man, so kicking the shin. Ouchie, appreciate it. I think
their company is Kicking Lizard Salsa. And I went to the website. It's kickinglizard.com. It's pretty cool. They have some salsas on there. So, hey, send us a free sample. We'll taste it on air and give you guys some information. Yeah, and let you know. Because we are in Texas. We know salsa.
Yeah, we know salsa. So
I'll never forget
one. You better not be in New York City.
New York City. With Kicking Lizard, it could be like Arizona
maybe.
Arizona or something.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we can give props to that. We also got another review actually on Facebook. This is from Movie Boozer, which is I went to their Facebook page. So their kind of concept is we rate movies with beer bottles. So it's
Movie Boozer. Okay.
It's a 5-beer bottle movie. It's a one beer bottle.
Awesome.
Now what I don't know is if it's bad, do you need more beers to stomach it? Like how does it? Because normally you think 5 beer bottles. Oh, that's good. Unless you need 5 bottles of beer to actually get through the movie.
They should even add types of beer. Oh, this is real bad. This is a 3-bottle OE.
OE.
Oh, this is great. This is a 5-bottle Corona. You know?
Yep.
And that's awesome.
He says, I have been listening to your podcast for a couple months. I like listening to you guys. Thanks for the tips. I still have a lot of work to do, but our hits are going up. Cheers, Salvador from Movie Boozer.
Hits are going up. So you implement the changes. Salvador, punch in the face to you.
Punch in the face.
Thanks for tuning in. And did he give us a link to the site?
He didn't, but you can find it. Actually, go to our page. Go to our Facebook page, which, by the way, you can stalk us.
Yeah.
Facebook.com/eWebStyle. Twitter.com/eWebStyle. YouTube.com/eWebStyle. podcast@e-webstyle.com.
I'm way too cool.
Yeah, you're
not going to get me that.
I tried. I threw it in real quick. Seriously, hit us up. Send us an email. Hit us up on Facebook. Go to iTunes. 3 steps. Go to iTunes. Create an account. Write a review. And if you want, send us a notice that you wrote the review, or in the case of Kicking Lizard, it's enough information for us to give you a shout out. So, excuse me, a punch in the face. Punch in the face. Let's see. Let's go on to this. A little bit of news. Hey, Adobe axes Flash for mobile and TV. So they never really got it to work on all devices. Obviously, never the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Although that's not exactly true because you can jailbreak your iPad, I saw it, and get Flash on it. It was never running stable. That was always Steve Jobs' complaint. And now they're making the decision to pull it. They're not going to develop Adobe Flash for mobile devices or TVs, like Google TV.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think that's risky. You know, I was just reading stats, and I should have put that stat in this list. More searches and more mobile advertising is moving towards more searches and more advertising is moving towards mobile. So if everyone's shifting from being at the desk, which is never going to go away,
mm-hmm.
And a lot more is happening mobile,
I think that's why it is risky, but it may be worth the risk, because if everyone's shifting towards mobile and you're clearly having problems with mobile on one of the platforms that is by far it may be worth, okay, white flag, we're gonna fall back, switch to some sort of HTML5 presentation that will accomplish the same goal we're trying to do for these mobile versions.
Well, the same, we were talking when somebody was announcing that they thought Adobe Flash was doomed, and then I looked at the stats, like 98% of users, desktop users, actually have Flash installed. Yeah. So their market the amount of market share that they have is huge. So they're clearly not going away anytime soon on desktops. It's hard to imagine right now a online gaming platform, right? The little games you play online, that would be better than
all
Flash.
Those do Flash.
Yeah. So it's interesting. We'll see how that plays out. I thought this was cool. Kindle Fire has reportedly slowed down iPad sales. And this is, of course, from somebody taking polls, a poll organization.
Kindle Fire slowed down
iPad sales. So the people that they interviewed, 5% said that they were planning on getting a Kindle Fire, 4% said that they were planning on getting an iPad, and of those 5% that are going to get a Kindle Fire, 26% said that was slowing their purchase of an iPad.
Because they want to investigate the Kindle Fire.
Check it out. my brother-in-law. He's going to get two, probably. Oh, I hope that doesn't... They don't listen. He was saying he's going to get one for his wife and one for his daughter.
Two Kindles or two iPads?
Two of the Fires.
Okay.
Right? He's very price conscientious. And the Fire would do everything. His daughter gets on the web to do research. She's only seven, and she gets on the web from time to time to do research for stuff that she's doing. So... a Kindle Fire makes a whole lot of sense.
Well, it does, especially if you're being price conscious, because I just bought an iPad, iPad 2, for the pastor of my church, and it was interesting. It's $499, no matter where you look at it, it's $499.
Yeah, right.
For the base model, 16 gig, you know, Wi-Fi only.
Right.
Right? It was another $100, matter of fact, another $130 if I wanted to get the 32, then add $50 more if I want to make it so I can use it with the service provider,
right?
Like Sprint or, right, you know, whoever.
T-Mobile or...
Yeah. So I was like, wow, so if I want to get maximum storage and use it with my service carrier, I'm going to spend $700, $800.
Yep.
Plus another $100 for the warranty. I said, man.
And if you're on a service contract, plus $40 a month for the contract, whereas the Kindle Fire's $199.
Yeah.
Right? So it's $300 cheaper than the cheapest iPad. So,
yeah,
that's, I think that's what the Kindle Fire, although I'd want it to be the same size as the iPad,
it's a little smaller, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think it's about seven. I think it's like the Galaxy.
Okay.
I think then $300 cheaper and with almost the same specs is just gonna, that's gonna be really something that can go head to head with the iPad. Otherwise, they're just doing an awesome amount of stuff. They're doing a great job, iPad. This is interesting. Android and iOS, so that's the operating system for Apple, has about 58% of the portable gaming market.
Of the portable gaming market.
So the little P, I don't even know what they're called, that the kids play, the Nintendo, PS3.
But PS3 doesn't run on, say that again.
So Android and iOS have 58% of the portable gaming market.
So though that's, they have to be considering games that are played on your phone device.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because PS3 uses Sony.
Something else. Yeah. Yeah. So the actual devices that are designed for gaming are left with the other 42%. That's pretty interesting.
So I wonder if that's including, I guess, Angry Birds and things like that. Are they talking about game apps?
I'm sure it does. Yeah. Zynga, you know who Zynga is, the company Zynga?
Yeah.
I thought this was interesting. They're the ones who made Farmville and Cityville, mm-hmm, or whatever. Early on, they didn't have money, and so they gave stock options. Recently, they said, give us our stock options back or we'll fire you.
Wow. Yeah, because they're probably about to try to...
Yeah. They're about to go to IPO, and they don't want to create... Like, Google apparently created a $20 million chef.
Mmm. Yeah.
How lame is that, though?
That's like super lame.
Here's your salary. Wait, give us back your salary, or we're gonna fire you.
And now, then we'll let us go public first, and then we'll pay you what we think you're worth.
Yeah.
Not what you've earned.
Yeah. I mean, oh, it's bad. But you know what? That could have been blank stare. So yeah, that's just nasty.
Yeah. They. Nah, I was gonna say they need a kick in the shin.
Yeah. It'll have a whole different meaning.
I know.
Check out thinkwithgoogle.com/insights. It's a lot of information about everything related to Google. It's really cool. And one of the things that I found that I read out there was that it said that 79% of websites do not have a mobile optimized website, which is really interesting that this came up at this time, because we're working with one of our clients on their mobile site. We had a big drawn out conversation about mm-hmm, about mobile and what mobile should be accomplishing for them, and so it made a lot of sense. So what I did is I put a question on our Facebook page. So go to our Facebook page. The question is, how many of you actually go to the full/desktop version of a mobile site? So as an example, when I go on to eBay, the first thing I do is scroll all the way to the bottom and go to the full site.
Yeah.
When I go on to Facebook.com, if I'm not using the app, and there are times when I want to do business stuff where I can't use the Facebook Android app, mm-hmm, so I scroll to the bottom and I go to desktop version. I want to see the whole thing. And so I would say I almost always go to the full desktop version.
Me too.
you know, there's two of us. Apparently, Javier here in the office, he's about 25% of the time. So 75, he stays on the mobile version of the website. We'd like to know what you think. So go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/eWebStyle.
You know what I'd also like to see? If you do stay on the mobile site, why?
Yeah.
Like, what are you looking for? I mean, are you staying on a mobile site to seriously browse company information? Or are you staying there because they've presented what you're looking for easier? I think most people who probably stay on their mobile is because whatever they're looking for is ready.
Yeah.
For example, the client he was speaking about earlier, you know, we need to feature maps and directions and instructions on how to get to a certain location mobily. So for that reason there, we're designing it so that that information will be easily accessible on the mobile version. And if you want to see any other information about us, frequently asked questions,
or investor relations information,
then go to the full version of the site.
Because it does render well on an iPhone, it renders well on an Android device, and so that was our kind of, we've got a little push back and forward. We were just, Javier and I were talking this morning, should we have a mobile version of eWebStyle?
Would you watch it? Let us know.
Yeah. What should we? I don't know. We'd love to have that. Hey, a question from a longtime listener, big time friend, punch in the face regularly. He's all bloody. Darren Bowie says, does it hurt SEO if you point your host's name servers not to your root directly, but to a folder instead? Say that you have just launched a blog and wish your domain name to go to the blog instead. And I know you put a response, so what'd you say?
My response to Darren was no, it doesn't hurt your SEO. I mean, because frankly, we see subdomains and other domains point to internal folders on a server all the time. Even down to, you know, some people who share servers, right? Technically, all these things are in different folders. And so those domain names are already pointing to internal folders. So I don't think it hurts the SEO. I just think as long as you make sure you do it the right way, and that, you know, everything.
Yeah, you don't want it, for instance, if our folder was blog, you wouldn't want the address bar to say ewebstyle.com/blog, right? You can do server tricks to have it point to an internal folder so that e-webstyle.com actually points to the blog folder.
Yeah.
So in that case, clearly it won't make a difference. I think his question was, though, if it's got that extra folder extension. Right?
Hmm.
In which case, I would say, so depending on which one you're doing, I would say that you try not to do that.
Yeah.
Because really, Google does seem to give more value and credibility to the homepage. And the homepage being, you know, ewebstyle.com/, you know, whatever. It tends also to be where you get your inbound links.
Yeah,
it tends,
exactly.
So you might even be mindful of if you're doing that. Just depending, let us know which one you're doing, or we've given you the answer to both. If it shows you the folder, probably not good. If you're just doing a server trick to point to a folder, it doesn't matter. Google doesn't know the difference.
Gotcha.
And all right, so we've been doing lots of mobile, and I would definitely have to agree with LASIK here. It says that we're adding to our subject matter, even if it's loosely. Today it's actually pretty tightly connected. Nine tips for optimizing your website for mobile users.
Yes,
so I'm going to start with one. I'm going to start with number three. Oh, where's this article from? This article is from Jamie Turner, and it's from socialmediaexaminer.com.
I'll start with one.
Okay, you start
with one.
That'll work.
Number one.
I was giving you a little time to like get caught up.
You almost confused me. You had to be one that said, I'll start with number one. Number two. You'll start with number three. Let's see here. Number one, simplify. Then simplify again and again. Excellent.
That's exactly what we did with our client. Is like, and it was a big point of contention in our discussion, which is it's too simple. If, you know, people want other information, where do they go? And our point was, if you're mobile, you don't want any other information, really. And if you do, then you go to the full version.
Yeah, which is, you know, technically still up for discussion. So we'll see.
Yep.
Number two, plan your site layout. I'm going to read this paragraph. Mobile web pages will load slower than traditional web pages, so it's important to keep the number of pages to a minimum. kind of like what we were talking about with our clients.
Yep.
They wanted each page of their current website to have a mobile version.
Yep.
And, you know, we just didn't think that that was entirely necessary.
Yeah. And it can detract from the we felt it would detract from the experience, actually.
Yeah.
Number three is match the branding elements from your standard site to your mobile site. Now, frankly, I think this goes without saying, yeah. Right? And I know that we use WP Touch, which is a WordPress plugin that allows you to show mobile stuff. You need to
style it.
You need to style it. You need to get your logo in there. You need to get your color scheme in there. They gave an example here of a website, I can't remember, 60 Second Marketer or something, and it compares the full version to the mobile version. And your mobile version is just simpler with icons, and it really makes sense. And it has the same branding elements, so same color, same look and feel type of situation.
I think to tie into that, that's kind of across the board. Like, especially if you're doing social, right? Your Twitter page and Facebook fan page, and especially if you're doing Facebook marketing or even your YouTube background. I mean, things of that nature should all resemble your current, you know, website.
Yeah, and we've learned the importance of branding in the last 2 months. Utilize white space. So when designing, let me just read this. It's a natural tendency to cram as much information as possible, fight the urge, and that goes back to simplify. Not only does white space give a cleaner, more sophisticated appearance, it ensures the users can quickly and easily find what they're looking for. And I just want to go back even to the branding elements. One of the differences in the sample we're looking at is they're really big icons to represent the different pages. And I think really you should design your mobile website to be more like an app.
Exactly. Right?
So you don't even need to create an app for, you know, Android or iPhone. Actually just make a mobile version that's got big icons. It's really simple. Think of it in terms of that. All the nice details of a good quality app should be implemented on your mobile version. You shouldn't need an app, actually, for your website. Apps should be for application stuff, not just for your business.
Especially since most apps truly are shortcuts to a mobile version.
Exactly. That's true.
What I've noticed.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Number five, avoid Flash or Java. We just talked about
your first reason. Man, the tie-in is awesome today, isn't it? First reason is because Flash isn't going to be supported on mobile devices in the short term, even. Mm-hmm. And then what was the other one? Java. Yeah. Because I guess some devices don't render Java well.
Yeah, probably, you know, RIM devices, Blackberries, and things of that nature.
Well, and I was even thinking, like, on our website, you know, you have to click on internet marketing in order to get a drop-down menu. That's Java. That doesn't work so well. I know sometimes I can get it to work on a mobile device. Yeah, other times I can't.
Yeah.
So, which is one of the reasons we probably do need
a mobile version
of our website.
Mm-hmm. Answers that question. Number six, reduce the amount of text entry necessary. Do you suffer from fat finger syndrome? Makes it difficult to use a smartphone keyboard? Most of us have trouble typing on tiny keyboards. When possible, use drop-down menus, checklists, and pre-populated fields as a means of data entry. Excellent tip. And yes, that's one of the reasons why my next phone, like my current phone, will be a slider with the keyboard because I can't type on screens.
Yep.
Let's see here. Number seven, do not use pop-up windows. Navigating between multiple tabs and browser windows is more difficult on the mobile and can cause slow load times. That is so true. Pop-ups on mobile suck.
Yeah.
Don't do it unless it's part of the conversion, kind of like Groupon, you know, where
right.
you have to input your location
right. yeah,
to do
exactly.
anything. So that pop-up is necessary.
Did they mention this? Because sometimes I'll be on a website and it'll do a pop-up. And because I've got, like, I can only have six windows. Like, at my desk at the office, I can have hundreds, and usually do. And on my phone, I get, like, I think on my Galaxy tab, I get six options. And on my phone, I get four, maybe, or something. So you end up, and it says, oh, I can't open it. So then you got to go close something and come back. So, absolutely, no pop-ups.
Yeah, number 8, use mobile redirects. Once your site is designed and ready to go, make sure to put redirects in a place that will sniff out when the visitor is using a mobile device and direct him or her to the mobile optimized version of your site. Yeah, yep. Definitely. I think that's some script that goes in the header.
Yep.
You know, bam, it can tell which type of browser you're using, if it's on a mobile device, and automatically
redirect
them to the mobile version. Number 9. I thought I gave you number 9, but I have it. Allow people to visit the full site.
And we talked about this already. Yeah, we think this is paramount. Certainly, I know with eBay, full site. Facebook, in fact, the features that I want aren't on the mobile version. And that's like, you know, use Facebook as e-webstyle so I can make a comment as e-webstyle or whatever. Make sure that the full version is there. Because I was talking with Javier this morning. When he's used to a full version website, as soon as you get on a mobile, you don't know where things are. So scroll down the bottom, full version, right click, I can do this. He pointed out one of the things that you can't do even on the full version of Facebook is when you change your photo, there's an opportunity to crop, which is probably JavaScript related. They don't have that on them, even on the full version if you're on a mobile device. So it's interesting. And I also I mentioned the iPad that was jailbroke and had Flash on it. I went to a website that had Flash on the screen, and it was interesting because it just showed me, it knew that it was an iPad, so it knew that it couldn't show me Flash, so it showed me a static image where there was a big Flash section. So I thought that was actually pretty interesting. That's it. That's it for our podcast. Again, while you're right now sitting wherever you're at, doing whatever you're doing, hop on Twitter, hashtag SEO podcast 128, and make sure that you're letting people know that you're listening to our podcast. We really appreciate you guys. Oh, we got blank stare, right?
Get ready for the blank stare. Blank stare with the can't believe it face. Not really take blank stare, but I'm a sports fan, so blank stare at all of the students at Penn State University.
I actually heard about this.
Yeah, I was watching it up late last night on SportsCenter. So, you know, due to some stuff happened 10 years ago, I totally hate, you know, the situation in regards to the children, people getting molested or whatnot. The president and Coach Paterno got fired.
Right.
All the students went mad, rioting in the streets, flipping over news vans and breaking light poles, and like, come on, like, violence shouldn't beget violence. You know, blank stare at y'all for choosing the wrong way to express yourself.
Yep.
And I'll take that at the ones who were actually doing it, because there were some good students who were just out there voicing their opinion, trying to be calm, but it was most of them were quite rowdy.
So. Beyond rowdy. It's no longer rowdy as soon as the TV truck flips over.
Yeah.
Rocking it, that's rowdy. Pushing it over, no longer rowdy.
Yeah, blank stare job.
I think it was Jefferson who said something about riots, and he said, when people riot, I think you have to stop a riot with such a strong fist that generations remember writing's not cool.
Good, yeah.
And I don't think we do that. That's not our tendency. Anyway, it's been a great podcast. We will catch you guys next Friday. Again, you can catch our podcast 9:15 Central Standard Time, Friday mornings. And then we, of course, upload the... Except for tomorrow, yeah. We also have another podcast, which is the Unknown Secrets of Website SEO Analysis. We'll be doing a couple more of those today, and that's where we do an analysis of websites from both an SEO and what we call a SEO perspective, search engine visitor optimization. So go check that podcast out. If you want us to do a review of your or an analysis of your website, just go to e-webstyle.com. On the right, there's a form. Fill out that form. And if you're one of the lucky ones and we choose your name out of our proverbial hat, we'll do an analysis of your website. Thank you guys for tuning in. Until the next podcast, my name is Chris Burris.
I'm Charles Lewis.
Bye-bye for now.
highbrow, highbrow. Tamely, gamely, headed my way. Cool as mountain snow, girl, glow, girl. Pining, shining, needing some play. Gonna set me free.